Time to check it out and check in with our mayor, Chad Vyshynski, for his weekly visit. And Mayor, I know you're probably feeling a little encouraged by this federal budget and what you saw. Ottawa investing over $50 billion across Canada for infrastructure in cities. And you lobbied with other mayors in Ottawa a few weeks ago to make this happen. So, hey, what power you wield? Good going.
Absolutely. I was very happy to see, given that, you know, our initial sense was that there maybe wasn't going to be a focus on infrastructure this budget go around. Very happy to see that there was some investment included in this budget cycle. That being said, it's probably not enough when we talk about the nation and the infrastructure debt that we're facing across the nation, but glad to see a step forward. And now we have to unpack and see how exactly we can get access to that and apply it to our city.
And some citizens wonder, how do you apply it to the city? What's the plan?
There's a couple pieces. You know, we have to look at the program itself. There's going to be every time there's parameters around what's applicable and what's not in terms of projects. So what we need to do is shortlist projects that would apply to the funding available and then prioritize that based on the needs in our community for that infrastructure. So there'll be a couple steps there. We'll have some folks in administration do some legwork as they do and understand how we get access to that money.
Mayor Chad Vyshynski, 11th Avenue Construction seems to be winding down for another year. Not completed. It'll resume next year. What's the status there?
For this year, we're almost done this year, almost cleaned up. I think just the final touches this week here. I was hopeful it was going to be done this week, but it sounds like they're just doing a little bit of cleanup here, and early next week, it should be open.
Okay. Dewdney Avenue between Albert and Broad, the revitalization project. When is Dewdney going to reopen?
That one is going to be closer to the kind of mid-end of November here. There's a little bit of work with the rails, like the rail crossing there. So once that's done, that will also be ready to open for everybody.
All right, Mayor. Last weekend, I was with some of your fellow counselors and a bunch of business leaders at a breakfast where Brandt CEO Sean Semple was guest speaker, a local business leader who's made his headquarters right here in Regina, of course. It was interesting, Mayor, to hear him openly discuss, you know, a 5,000-seat ballpark in the rail yards. He even talked about a new arena throughout the day, 2030. He seems pretty confident at it happening. And after all, it's probably going to take private investment like that. What's standing in the way of not getting this going sooner than later?
Nothing standing in the way of those conversations. I think for me, that makes me excited when I hear prominent members of our community that are wanting to invest in our community in spaces like that. That's incredible. So nothing will stand in the way of those conversations, and we would work through whatever we need to understand, you know, permitting land and that. That wouldn't be a problem. We would work through the standard process and make sure that we are working lockstep if something were that come to life.
Let's end on the West Final. How are you embracing the weekend here with the Riders and the Lions?
Oh, I'm excited. I'll be at the game and cheering our Riders on. Very excited. I'm happy with how it turned out. We're facing the Lions. I think we're in a good spot there. So very excited for the game.
Now, when you attend, Mayor Chad Vyshynski, a game where the daytime high is going to be -5, kickoff at 5:30, fourth quarter could be a little chilly. Are you sitting with the rest of us minions in the stands, or are you warm and cozy up in a suite?
I think it'll be both, because I find that I end up wandering around the stadium for most games, so I'll probably be wandering in and out all over the place.
Bit of a politician answer there. I didn't really come out to say where, but okay. Well, are the Riders going to win, and if by what score?
Oh, boy. The Riders are going to win. That's my prediction. I think it'll be somewhat close. I think it's going to be lower scoring. I'm going to say 21-14.
21-14. All right. Mayor Chad Vyshynski, always good to have you on the show. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it has been a crazy busy high school extracurricular activity bonanza lately with football finals and this week volleyball wrapping up. And I thought we'd get an update. Last night's Volleyball City Championships, Blue Division, Junior Girls, Riffle beat Campbell, and in Junior Boys, Campbell, congratulations, defeated Miller. So that was junior action last night. There's more tonight to go. Regina High School Athletic Director Dwayne L. with me now. What's on tap tonight?
Tonight we've got senior volleyball in the blue division. We have Winston Old Girls playing Campbell Girls at Luther High School. That starts at 6 p.m. And then the boys are the Leboldus Golden Suns and the Millen Marauders at 8 p.m. And that's also at Luther High School.
Oh, I got to ask you, who's favorite? Let's start with the girls.
So I think it's going to be really close. Campbell's the defending champions, and Winston Knoll ended up in first. So I think that'll be a really close game. And then we have Leboldus and Miller, which is two teams for the championship this year. And I believe, again, Miller finished first and Leboldus second. But all the games have been really close, so anything can happen tonight.
All right. Volleyball taken care of. Let's move to football. What's going down in the next few days here?
Well, we have the provincial final, two provincial finals, one in Saskatoon. The original date was Saturday, but the SHSA has moved the game now to Friday at SM Field for 6:15. And we have the Millen Marauders versus the Holy Cross Crusaders. And then we go to Saturday where the FW Johnson Wildcats go and play the Moose Jaw Central Cyclones at Guthridge Field at Moose Jaw at 1 p.m.
Okay, and the provincial champion will be announced.
The provincial championships will be announced, and I did a little research on it. 2010 is the last time Regina has swept 6A, 5A, so that's what we hope can happen again this year.
What's next after we get wrapped up with football?
Well, curling's already started practice starting Monday. Hockey has started practice on Monday also. This wrestling will start mid-December, and then yesterday I sent out basketball scheduling information, so those are our four big sports getting ready to go. Everything's kind of just right on the tip of starting.
So students either know already or should be listening for announcements.
Oh, definitely listening to announcements. But like I said, the curling and the hockey's already been done. The basketball will be starting. Basically, it starts right after football does, so there is no overlap in sports. So once that's kind of done, they get ready to do the practicing, and away they go.
Dwayne, thanks for the update.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Just a reminder, too, are U of R Rams heading to Saskatoon to meet the Huskies in the Hardy Cup this weekend? And then the winner of that then moves on to the CanWest Championship, playing host to the Mitchell Bowl against the Ontario champion. And then, really, it's two games away from the Vanier Cup, which is going to be here in Regina, Mosaic Stadium, November 22nd. If you want to go for free, with hopes the Rams will be there, I've got a pair of tickets. I'm going to give a couple of pair away, okay? And each one comes with a gift card to Boston Pizza as well, too, all right? So if you're interested, Vanier Cup tickets, $25 gift card to Boston Pizza, two pairs, two gift cards. I'll have two winners. 1-877-300-7275. Text now. And give me your first and last name. Drawing closer to a sellout, about 1,000 tickets left for the West Final on Saturday, kickoff at 5:30. A little bit of good news on the injury front from the Riders yesterday. Keyshawn Johnson had his helmet on, participated in a few individual drills yesterday, but we're still waiting for the coach to confirm that he's going to be green lit for sure.
I feel good. So, you know, from there, you know what I mean, everything we'll put in the air, but I feel good.
You heard the man. He's ready to roll, but coach, what are you going to say? In fact, what does Britton Gray think he's going to say? He joins me now, Britton. What about it? Do you think the coach is going to say, let's do it?
I'm not quite sure yet, because ultimately Corey Mace has to decide if him at even 90% is better than the other option, right, which is Joe Robustelli, who's been out there with the ones for a lot of this week. I think Keyshawn Johnson, he's one of the best receivers in the league, obviously named an all-CFLer. I think if you can find a way to get him out there, you do it, but that's why Corey Mace gets paid the big bucks, right?
Any other injuries or practice notes from yesterday at all?
Good news on Roland Milligan. He logged a full practice. That means he'll be able, more than likely, be able to play this week. So that's a big boost for that defensive backfield as they try to stop Nathan Rourke out there on defense. And so outside of that, this team's getting healthy. There's not really a lot of supposed starters who are still missing. Shane Ray's really the only one who comes to mind where he hasn't been out there, so I don't expect him to go. But otherwise, it might be the healthiest this team has been for a long time.
Well, there's, as I mentioned, lots of excitement growing. After all, the Lions and Riders met in postseason play in the semifinal last year. We beat them, only to lose to Winnipeg in the West Final. This year, there seems to be so much confidence. So you watch this club every day. Break the game against the Lions on Saturday down for me here. From your perspective, What are the key factors the Riders need to ensure they do to win? And same with BC.
I think it's get the run game going, right? For the Riders, use AJ Ouellette a lot. This should be an AJ Ouellette game when you look at what the weather could be like. And just keeping the ball out of Nathan Rourke's hands. And on the other side of that, for the BC Lions, you need your defense to step up. They've been playing better recently to end the season, yes, but that's been really the team's Achilles heel all season long for the Lions. Their defense hasn't been able to provide the offense with enough support. So that's really comes down to the Riders' offense staying on the field and keeping the ball out of Nathan Rourke's hands while the BC Lions defense finds a way to force some turnovers. So we'll see how that goes on Saturday.
We saw those East Final and the West Final come down to a field goal last weekend. A lot of CFL analysts pointing to, you know, the kicking battle. Sean White, he's nailed 95.1% of his field goal tries this year, whereas Brett Lauther, I think, coming in at 72.2% conversion rate so far. That's a key battle. We never want to see it come down to that, but that's a factor in this game too, isn't it?
Yeah, it will be, though. The BC Lions don't trot out Sean White for long field goals. I think he doesn't kick a lot past 50 yards. They only use him really for close situations, and he also kicks in a dome for half the season, right? So you have to take that into account. Brett Lauther's made some big kicks. He's made some big kicks in some, let's say, interesting weather as well. And if that's where the Riders decide to go, because, hey, they might, it's a close practice today, they might decide to make the change at kicker. I think they'll go with Brett Lauther. But you go with the veteran who's been there, done that, especially at home at Mosaic Stadium, where Brett's had a lot of success kicking prior to this season, even though this year was a little bit rough.
It was rough, and perhaps we've all been guilty of being rough on him, but I feel the same way. He's the guy we got to go with this weekend. Rider reporter Britton Gray, how surprised were you to hear the Red Blacks just hired Ryan Dinwiddie as the new head coach and GM?
It kind of came out of nowhere. There were some rumblings that maybe Ryan Dinwiddie might be moving on, but with the success they had there, you had to assume Toronto would find a way to keep him there, but clearly that's not the case. And I think this is a great move for Ottawa and that ownership group after a few years of bad years of just barely making playoffs, not doing too much. This is a move that tells their fan base, hey, we're taking it seriously. We want to make the playoffs and get past the playoffs, make it back to the Grey Cup, and this is a move that tells their fan base that they want to be contenders once again.
Speaking of fan base, what's the mood around Mosaic Stadium from the standpoint of the organization? What do we got? About 1,000 tickets left. Are they getting a little nervous about selling this out or not?
I don't think so. When you talk to all of them, they say that their walk-up ticket base is actually very good when it gets closer to game day. I think it's going to sell out, and the team really encourages that. And they want to see a sold-out game because you want the BC Lions to not only compete with the weather, but over 30,000 Rider fans yelling and screaming while the Lions offense is on the field.
It's going to be fun. Thank you, Britton. Appreciate your time.
Not a problem.
Looking for adventure in whatever comes our way.
Well, if you've been putting off getting some winter tires, not much longer, all right? A little light snow maybe overnight tonight, a little bit more tomorrow. I don't think we're going to see a ton of snow over the next 24 hours, but it is that time of year. We're running out of time. All the good weather is starting to float behind us now. So I saw a few ladders putting Christmas lights up the last few weeks, taking advantage of the milder weather. And tire shops getting busy right now. Phones are ringing and making appointments for 4 or 5 days in advance at the moment. So just consider that with the light snow coming in the forecast. Remembrance Day is coming up next Tuesday. Yet already, I always feel like, wait till after Remembrance Day, but we're already being hit by a barrage of Christmas. Yeah, it's been in stores for weeks now, the decorations, television, you pop it on, there's commercials.
It's the season for giving your paycheck away.
Yeah, pretty much. And with everything that's going on right now, flyers in the mailbox pushing Christmas, the kids flipping through mini toy catalogs, making their Christmas wish list already. And now today, Starbucks launching their holiday cups. Here they come. They always make a big deal out of this one. And apparently, there is something called the Barista Cup. It's a bear. You see the play on words there. The Barista Cup. They're selling for like $30. It's a plastic bear with a straw on the top of its head. It's kind of Christmassy. And it's already becoming a collector's item because they have limited supplies. They're showing up on eBay already this morning. going for like $300. From the NHL last night, Ovechkin did it. Okay, that was pretty cool. He's the only guy to do that. And now this, St. Louis Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington, who was in the net for the Blues, who he scored on. Well, they're celebrating on the ice, tries to sneak the puck and put it in his hockey pass.
He's a fella, isn't he? And he does some things. Watch it. After the goal is scored, he's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. And he's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but they're not going to get that puck from Binnington, but that is until linesman Michel Cormier came over and said, hey, we know you got that puck, buddy.
There's cameras everywhere, guys. His eBay account would have been popping off after this game that he pulled that heist off.
Yeah, he got caught. I'd like to think he probably was going to do something later after the game. I don't think he'd really want to take it. And I don't know. Hard to say. We haven't heard from Binnington yet about why he did that. President Trump's lawyers are likely waking up this morning thinking about the thrashing they received from the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday. Majority of the court questioned Trump's use of an emergency power law to impose worldwide tariffs, and the court could find he exceeded his authority. And majority of the court judges seem skeptical. Reporter Devin Dwyer with more.
The oral arguments, which ran almost 3 hours, really cut across ideological lines. I will say the three liberal justices were the most vigorously skeptical, openly skeptical of Trump's use of this power. But there were a number of conservatives concerned, including Chief Justice John Roberts, who sort of said, well, who pays these tariffs? Aren't these tariffs a tax? It really seems to be that was the purview of Congress, he questioned out loud several times.
All right, it may take months yet before the Supreme Court gives its final ruling on whether or not Trump has exceeded his powers. Premier Scott Moe is first up on the Evan Bray Show, dissecting the federal budget. And as well, don't forget, later at 9, he's at the Ledge with the Riders. They're going to make some sort of announcement. I'm sure it's fun, all behind the West Final, but we'll let you know about that too. CJME News Time is 8:27.